for the year, and I was just reminded as we're singing it, I appreciate it, but just reminded, even when life is hard, you ever experience those days? Maybe you say it's not just days, it's a season. It seems like I'm stuck in a life is hard, but even when life is hard, and you say, well, my strength is gone as well, I'm thankful for God's grace, and I'm thankful for His enabling, amen? And even in that time, with God's help and with God's grace, we will continue. And I'm thankful that God gives us the strength, the help, the grace that we need in those times. And there are times in our lives, no doubt, that things enter into our life to help us be dependent upon Him. We have this crazy tendency of becoming independent and thinking we can do things on our own, and I'm thankful that God gives us the strength that we need. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 this evening. I'll be looking at a familiar verse of Scripture, looking at verse number 18 this evening, and the Bible says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." I've titled the message, "In Everything Give Thanks." And as I think about this verse of Scripture, I would say tonight that most of us are quite familiar with this verse. In fact, many of us could probably quote the verse of Scripture. As I read it here and kind of quoted it myself and was watching, some of you were saying some of the words. And we're familiar with the verse of Scripture, but the reality is that being familiar with the verse, or even being able to quote the verse, is not really enough. The Bible is given to us. I'm thankful that as God has given us the Scripture, that He tells us that it's profitable for us. But when is it profitable to us? It is profitable to us when we apply it in our lives. Not that we just have a head knowledge, that we have a working knowledge, that we can quote a number of verses of Scripture, but know that we've applied these principles in our lives truly, that we could say, as James says, that we're doers of the word and not hearers only. I will readily admit to you this evening that the text of Scripture that is before us, this single verse of Scripture, really steps on all of our toes and really kind of gets our attention. The conviction of the Holy Spirit ought to be evidenced in our life. In fact, I believe it's quite interesting that as we go through these three verses that we've looked at in the last 2 weeks and then tonight, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know what the next one is? Quench not the Spirit. You know why I think it's there? Because we can quench the Spirit when we read verse 16, 17, and 18. And so we'll deal with that next week in its entirety and really looking at verse number 19. But tonight, when we think about this text of Scripture and this admonition, this piece of instruction that is given to the church at Thessalonica, but then preserved for every church throughout church history, we've titled the series, the overall series of this Wednesday night Bible study, "To Walk Worthy and Please God." I've said repeatedly that as we look at these concise instructional statements that are given, these principles that are given, we find that in each of them there's action that is required. And such is the case again this evening. We're familiar with this verse. I want you to look at a couple of other passages with me this evening. Go over to Psalm 100, if you will. The 100th Psalm is a familiar psalm as well. Many of us this evening are familiar with this psalm. In fact, many would be able to quote, if not all of it, much of it. And we find that in Psalm 100, we find various principles that are so applicable, but right in the midst of the text, we find a truth that's related to our subject this evening. Beginning in verse number 1 of Psalm 100, the psalmist says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with what? With thanksgiving. And into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name." Why? For the Lord is good. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. All the time, no matter the circumstances, the Lord is good. Amen? Notice, His mercy is everlasting. You might be dealing with a situation, you might be dealing with a storm, a trial, a moment of being overwhelmed, but God's mercy is everlasting. And His truth endureth to all generations. You know, I'm thankful that God's given us His Word. His Word is truth, and contained within His Word, He reveals so many wonderful things to us. He reveals to us who He is. And really, when we understand and we get into the presence of God, again, on Sunday morning, our bulletin said the verse from Psalm 16:11, in His presence there is fullness of joy. And no doubt this evening that as we get into the presence of God and understand who He is and understand how He operates and understand His control over the affairs of man, that we can come to a verse of Scripture like 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and we can obey in everything, give thanks. I want you to understand this evening that this verse of Scripture is not a verse of Scripture. It's not a principle that is going to be obeyed by a lost person. It's really not a principle that's going to be obeyed by a carnal Christian. You know the kind of Christian that's going to be able to give thanks in everything? A Christian that is filled with the Spirit of God. A Christian who is living daily in the presence of God. A Christian that understands who God is and the fact that He is good, regardless of your circumstances or mine. God is good. And we look at this principle and we look at this passage in Psalm 100 and we see this wonderful psalm of praise, but we find, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. You know, the psalmist tells us that God daily loadeth us with benefits. That's a truth. Amen? And we understand that it's been often said, and we can be mindful of the fact that we are heaven-bound and nothing can change that. Our names, if you're saved by the blood of Christ, your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and heaven is your home, and what glory that is. But you know, here on earth, God gives us so many benefits and blessings. He promises to be with us. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know, there are so many promises, hundreds of promises that are contained within God's Word. Why did He give us all those promises? Why did He reveal to us all that He did with regard to His character and who He is and how He operates? Why are the pages of Scripture filled with so many accounts of those that have gone before us that have enjoyed the presence of God, that have experienced the power of God? So that today we could sit here and we could rejoice and give thanks knowing who God is. Knowing who God is. We find this evening this passage in Psalm 100. Look at Ephesians 5, and then I'm going to get into a couple of thoughts tonight. But in Ephesians chapter number 5, really a sister verse, if you will, to what we're looking at here in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. Look in Ephesians 5, if you will, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 18. Ephesians 5 and verse 18. Notice the Bible says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Notice this, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, most of us understand this evening that the moment of salvation, you were indwelled with the Spirit of God. But understand with me this evening that that does not mean you are filled with the Spirit of God at this moment. You can be indwelled with the Spirit of God, but not filled with the Spirit of God. There are two distinct things. I am thankful that I'm indwelled, that my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, that that is the earnest of our inheritance. Praise God. At the moment of salvation, I got all of the Holy Spirit that I'm ever going to get. But day by day, how much of the Holy Spirit does He have of you? How much of us does he have? That's being filled with the Spirit, being controlled by the Spirit. See, we can be filled with self, can we not? You think about the message from Sunday morning. How much of your will influences your prayer life? We're to pray, thy will be done. But I have a will and you have a will, and if we're not careful, it gets all in the way. And so I can be filled with self, or we can take the admonition that's given here in Ephesians 5:18 that we're to be filled with the Spirit. Understand that this is present, passive, imperative. In other words, it's a continuous command that's given to us. It's not something that on one day we say, man, I was filled with the Spirit and I'm always going to be filled with the Spirit. No, because self continues to want to sit on the throne of your heart. The old man wants to be in charge. And so every day we have to be crucified with Christ. I die daily. We have to be filled with the Spirit. Notice, as we notice here in Ephesians 5, verse 18 says to be filled with the Spirit. Verse 19 and 20 and 21, I believe, are evidences. Here's the evidence, the proof, if you will, that you're filled with the Spirit. Anyone can say whatever they want. You read 1 John and it talks all about saying versus being. You can say what you want. But what does the evidence conclude? Well, here in Ephesians 5, it says, be filled with the Spirit. And then it says this, here's the evidence. Here's what it looks like if you're filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. What does it say in verse 20? Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. The next verses go on to describe the home and the roles and what have you, and no doubt it's imperative that we're filled with the Spirit if we're going to fulfill our duties and our responsibilities that God has given us. But we notice in verse 20, again, a cross-reference, a sister verse, if you will, with what we're looking at in 1 Thessalonians 5, that here the Bible says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we find that the admonition, the instruction, as Paul is giving this charge, again, remember, to a good church, a model church, a church that was walking with the Lord, but we find that Paul, he says, we beseech you in verse 12, in verse 14, we exhort you, and all of these instructions are given, and he says to the church in Thessalonica, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This evening, as we look at this verse of Scripture, I want you to just consider two thoughts tonight. Number one, notice how we are instructed to behave. Notice how we are instructed to behave. We find that as we look at this verse of Scripture, it's already obvious through means of our introduction this evening, but we are to be a thankful people. God's people are to be the most thankful people on the face of the earth. I believe that. I believe that we ought to be a thankful people. Listen, it is a shame when you read in the Old Testament of the children of Israel that almost every time you turn around, they're murmuring and they're complaining. No, we are to be a thankful people. In everything, give thanks. Why? Because God has revealed to us who He is, and we are able to take, as we're filled with the Spirit of God, this instruction, and we're to give thanks. Give thanks. Understanding this evening that God is sovereign. And God has a purpose. You know, in every circumstance of your life and my life, God has a purpose. I believe that tonight. I believe that God has a purpose. I don't believe that God is messing with your life or my life. I don't think that God is a good God. God is a loving God. God is a God who moves with purpose. And this evening, when we understand that He's sovereign and we understand that He moves with purpose, then we would understand that in my life that God has the right to do what He wants to do. Now, that's easier said than done. Amen? It's a whole lot easier to say than to do it. But this evening, the experiences that you have, the experiences that I have, Whether you would categorize those experiences as being good or bad or whatever heading of those titles you want to use, I believe this evening that our experiences lead to opportunities. If we face life in a biblical way. See, this evening when we look at a text of Scripture like this, when we look at an admonition, a charge, an instruction to be a thankful people, in everything give thanks, that we would understand this evening that it requires that we have a biblical perspective and a biblical worldview, that we must see God in His right place, His rightful place, high, holy, and lifted up, being the omnipotent God who not only creates all things, He's created all things, but He sustains all things. And we find this evening that as we have experiences in life, that it leads to opportunities, I believe, ministry opportunities. I want you to consider with me this evening that we can minister through the experiences of life, we can minister to lost people. We can minister to lost people. You know, there are times in which God might allow something in your life and my life that leads me into direct contact with a lost person that needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe that tonight. I believe this evening that as we go through life, that you have people that you're praying for. You have people that are on your prayer list that are lost family members, lost relatives, lost neighbors that you pray for. And if you pray like I pray, there are many times that when I pray for lost family members and lost loved ones, lost acquaintances, friends, those on our prayer list, I pray something like this often: God, would you bring somebody into their path that would share the gospel with them? But I don't always know the means by which God will use in order to bring somebody in their path. And I wonder this evening, if we are truly surrendered to the Lord, that we can allow God to do whatever He sees fit to do in our lives to bring us into that place where we can minister, where we can minister to lost people. They can hear the gospel. I think about the Apostle Paul, Philippians chapter 1. I referenced it on Sunday, but in Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 12, Paul understood something very important, but he wanted the believers at Philippi to also understand this truth, this principle. Why? Because it should mold and shape their lives as well. It was great for Paul to understand this, but he wanted the believers in Philippi to understand this. Why? Because they too would have things that would happen in their life. And so Paul says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, in verse 12 of Philippians 1, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." If that was true in Paul's life, I would say tonight it could be true in any of our lives. That the things that happened to me, by the way, if you're keeping track and having a categorized list of whether things are good or bad, a lot of the things that happened to Paul would find themselves on a list called bad. Amen? But Paul says, those things that happened unto me, well, those things, they have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel. And so how is it that Paul, in that circumstance, we are instructed to behave, that in everything we are to give thanks? Why? Because we understand that God is sovereign, that God has a purpose. And though we look at this event, this circumstance, this experience that we have, that God might be leading me into a place where I can have an encounter, a divine appointment to better share the gospel with a lost person. I remember reading a missionary letter. It was probably within the first couple of months of being here as the pastor. And I don't even remember who the missionary was at this point, but the missionary was in a place where they were far from really civilization, if you will, with regard to the conveniences of modern technology and sort resources, and they couldn't just run down to Home Depot and get a new appliance and that sort of thing. And they were dealing with a problem with a washing machine, and there were just no one there that within the region where they were, no technicians, there's no no place to just replace it. So they had to wait an extended period of time to have someone come in order to be able to handle and to deal with this problem. When the technician finally arrived, the missionary not only told him about the issue with the appliance that they were dealing with and sought to get that resolved, but the missionary took the opportunity to share the gospel. And through a period of conversation and I think a follow-up visit where they had to come back with some parts to be able to fix it, the missionary found out that this technician that came had a saved mother that had been praying for over 20 years that he'd get saved. So when I look at that account and I read that letter, I kind of took this and here's how I concluded it. So God allowed for someone's washing machine to break so that a technician would come not just to fix a washing machine, but to hear the gospel. To hear the gospel. See, if you're like me, I don't like it when things break. That's just not naturally how we think. But we're not to think naturally. We're to think spiritually, supernaturally. We're to understand that God is a God that moves with purpose. And we're to understand that, listen, if the children of Israel could wander through the wilderness for all those years and their shoes didn't wear out, and all, God could take care of it, amen? God can let your washing machine last until you don't last, amen? I mean, it's just what he could do. But there are times in which God will allow. You say, this is a brand new, it shouldn't. Hold on a minute. What is God doing? How is God working? And we can be thankful in those times. Why? Because God has a purpose. God has a plan. It might not be that you lead the technician or the whoever, the doctor. There's a man that came here several years ago to do an inspection. Never came to our church one time as an attender for a service. He came here to do an inspection. And I'll abbreviate the story significantly to just get to the point and move on. But he had several years prior to the time that he came here for an inspection, his brother-in-law inadvertently caught him on fire. The man was covered with second and third degree burns. It was absolutely brutal. He ended up being care flighted, burn center, the whole nine yards, skin graft, I mean, you name it. He dealt with it, ICU, I mean, the whole deal. He said it was the worst pain he ever had. This is, he stood, Bart, we were 3 feet from where you're sitting. And we stood right there, Miss Jennifer, almost right where you are, actually. We just stood right there. And here's what he said to me. He said, you know, through that process, I got to see one doctor trust Christ as their Savior and two nurses got saved. It was the worst physical experience I've ever had in my life. I would do it again tomorrow if it meant that I could share the gospel with people and they'd get saved. That's amazing. We can, listen, in everything give thanks. Why? Because God has a purpose. God moves with purpose. Sometimes it may be. I had an experience where I didn't have one flat tire, I had two. Isn't that exciting? How many spare tires do you have? Well, most have one. I don't have two. I had two flat tires at the same time. That was a situation, right? And I end up at a place getting them fixed and end up being able to share the gospel for an extensive period of time with the not the technician that was working on it, but the person that was at the desk working the cashier, if you will. They didn't get saved that night, but they heard the gospel. Not only can these experiences lead to opportunities of ministry toward lost people, but I think also of saved people. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 gives us some great truth with regard to the God of all comfort and how he works. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the Bible says this in verse number 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Do you believe that this evening? He is the God of all comfort. The Holy Spirit, one of the names that's ascribed to him is Comforter. You're dealing with a difficulty. He is the Comforter. He's the God of all comfort. But notice what it says in verse number 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. God might allow you to go through an experience today in your life, and it may not be for a number of years that you understand why God was allowing you to go through that experience and how God comforted you in that situation, and then God would use you to be able to help someone else. It's amazing how God works. But it requires that we maintain a proper perspective. It requires that we're filled with the Spirit of God, that we're walking in the Spirit, and God will enable us. And we see in this text of Scripture, we notice how we are instructed to behave. But I want you to see not only how we're instructed to behave, number two, I want you to notice how what we are informed of. Notice what God informs us of in this verse of Scripture. He says, in everything give thanks. But then he informs us of something. He instructs us in the first part of the verse, but then he informs us in the latter part of the verse. And here's what he informs us of. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now that's pretty powerful. God specifically says, this is the will of God. It is imperative that we do the will of God. It is pleasing to God when we do the will of God. Amen? I mean, that seems to be obvious, not even needing to be stated, but we understand this evening that this is the will of God, and God informs us. He says, in everything give thanks. It would have been sufficient if that's where he ended, but he lets us know that this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It is God's will for you and for me, for all of His children, to be thankful. You know, there are times in which we understand we've lived life long enough, all of us here this evening, we've lived life long enough to know that there are times, there are circumstances that we have faced, that we will face, where it's easier to be thankful than at other times. There are some times in which it's not easy. Does it change the will of God? No. It doesn't change the will of God because God still has a purpose. God still has a plan. And this evening, as I think about this portion of Scripture, this concise piece of instruction that we're also informed of this being the will of God, we must understand this evening that the Holy Spirit of God is working within us to enable us to do the will of God. I cannot, you cannot, in our own flesh, in everything give thanks. I guarantee you, in your flesh, you will fail. It's just going to happen. We are much more prone to complain and murmur than we are to give thanks. But we understand this wonderful principle in God's Word that the Holy Spirit of God, God is working within us so that we can do the will of God. Turn to the book of Philippians, if you will. And I'm going to close here with this portion of Scripture this evening. And it's very interesting. God brought this to my mind actually this afternoon. I wasn't planning to go to Philippians 2 as I was preparing this message, but God brought this to my mind this afternoon. And it's interesting because within the text of Scripture, it doesn't specifically say anything about giving thanks. It does, however, say that we're not to murmur. So it's quite interesting. I want you to look at it with me in verse 14. Notice what the Bible says in Philippians 2 and verse 14. Do all things. How many things? All things. How many things are we to give thanks for? Right? In everything, give thanks. Giving thanks always for all things, Ephesians 5:20. And so now we see in Philippians 2:14, do all things without murmurings and disputings. You say, Pastor, this is a hard lesson. I understand. In our flesh, it is hard. Notice what he says in verse 15. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke. Notice, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You know, God told us that we're to let our light shine. You ever, I know that there's, advancements in technology. There was a time, and they still use them in various places, but there was a time in which lighthouses were absolutely critical. Now there's navigation assistance that goes beyond. In fact, several of the lighthouses within those that maybe you visited, they're not even necessary for operational. They're just nice landmarks to be able to go and visit and what have you. Some still operate and are still needed. But we understand this evening that if we can think back to the time of that light and how important that light was and how necessary it was that the lens not get dirty. Because when the lens gets dirty, the light can't shine like it needs to, right? We understand that. And this evening, as we look at this, it says that we are in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, but we are to shine as lights in the world. You know, when we do all things with thanksgiving, when we do all things without murmurings and disputings, it keeps our lens clean. Does that make sense tonight? See, because all of a sudden, if we're to be lights and we're supposed to be shining, but we're murmuring and complaining and therefore we're not giving thanks and we're acting just like the lost person acts when they get the bad news, when they deal with the adversity and we're behaving in like fashion, guess what's happening to our light? It's dim. It's dim. It's not shining like it should. But I purposefully began in verse 14 so that we could circle back to verse 13. Because here's what God tells us in verse number 13, the key that would enable you and I to do all things without murmurings and disputings, thus I believe akin to in everything give thanks. Notice in verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. When we look at a principle like this one tonight, in everything give thanks. You can't just try harder to implement this principle in your life. You can't decide, I'm going to turn a page and I'm going to stop complaining. I'm going to... No. It's not in your own ability. You must allow God to work in and through you. You must come to the place where you're surrendered and yielded and say, God, I'm bought with a price. I'm yours, Lord. And whatever you see fit, I'm going to give thanks. I'm not going to murmur and I'm not going to complain. I'm going to shine brightly. Why? Because you're working in and through me. Not because I'm some great person. No, because I serve a great God. And God can work in you and through you. And we have the promise here in this text of Scripture, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And then it says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. When we look there in Ephesians 5, before he says in verse 20 that we're to give thanks for all things, giving thanks always for all things, he says, be filled with the Spirit in verse 18. And this evening, it's not a matter, you know, sometimes we live life and we get so influenced by the world's philosophies. The world's philosophies, just try harder, just do better, just lift your... No, it's surrender and yield and let God work through you and allow the Scripture to control how you think and how you behave. Because it's only as I spend time with God, it's only when I get in this book that I yield myself, that I surrender myself, that truly in everything I will be able to give thanks. This is not an easy piece of instruction. But as we look at the Scriptures, we find that God enables us. God has never instructed us to do something that He won't also enable us to do. And for that, we ought to be thankful for His enabling. And we come to a text of Scripture like this tonight and say, you know, tonight, truly as an individual, truly collectively, corporately as a church, we want to walk worthy and please God. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. God gives us an instruction, But then he informs us, this is my will for you. This is what pleases me. And I will enable you to do it. This evening, I hope you see God in his rightful place. I hope you understand that he is a sovereign God, that he has a purpose and a plan, and that he'll take your experiences and mine, and it doesn't matter how you try to categorize them. When we just simply understand God is in control and God has a purpose, we say, God, through this circumstance, through this situation, would you allow me to be used of thee? And so often, I'm guilty. So often, we can be so busy murmuring and complaining and griping that we miss the very divine appointments that God has right in front of us. Why? Because we're not giving thanks. We're complaining and we're murmuring. And so this evening, it's a verse that many of us could quote, we're familiar with, but that's just simply not enough. We must be doers of the word and not hearers only. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for your word, the truth contained therein. God, I pray that you would help us. Lord, help us to understand tonight that it's not just I have to do better at this. No, I must be controlled by the Spirit of God. I must allow you to work in and through me. I must be crucified with Christ. That's the pathway to being able to give thanks always. Lord, I pray that you'd bless our time, that through the time of corporate prayer, Lord, that our hearts would be knit together, that you'd be glorified, that, Lord, we'd see you work in a distinct way. We'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, on the back we got some updates from some of our missionaries.